now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Ali Shilton.
And I'm Lisa Loader. Today on the show,
Alex will be joining us live to tell us all about the organisation. Plus a slightly more serious topic with Terry coming a little bit later on too. All coming today right here on Shout Out. Shout Out Listeners Awards for 2025, sponsored by YouGo, are now open. There's 22 awards over five categories, including performers, artists and writers, events, groups and organisations, places and people, and Shout Out's most prestigious awards of them all, the Gold Awards. For 2025, the number of Gold Awards has increased to five, including Diversity Champion of the Year, Most Diverse Company, the Make It Happen Award, Inspirational Role Model of the Year, and our most prestigious of them all, Hero of the Year. The Shout Out Listeners Awards are your awards. To nominate someone for an award, visit our brand new website, awards.shoutoutradio.lgbt. No one. I thought you were going to do that. No. And you kind of mouthed like you were about to.
Too far away from the microphone.
It's not my thing.
So how are we all?
All right, thank you.
I haven't got anything from you, Terry. Say something for me.
Hello.
Oh, there we go. Okay, right. Sorry.
And welcome to the Voice of China. Broadcasting live from Beijing tonight on the 41, 31 and 25 metre bands.
What?
You have to be a shortwave listener to get that.
What?
What?
The days before the internet, eh?
Yes, yeah, shortwave radio and all that. It can go all the way around the planet, can't it, shortwave?
Yeah, it still does, yeah. They use it, in fact, the British intelligence still use it because our enemies and the Russians, well, not saying they're the enemy, but you know what I mean?
Not yet.
Other states, yes. Other states can trace mobile phone communications quite easily. Shortwave is
Terry just started World War III.
No.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Russia did a test this week, didn't they, about locking out the internet from the rest of the world. They've done that before.
Yeah, like how China do.
Yes, they do.
Well, China's a bit different. China filters it all.
Okay.
Whereas Russia, a few years ago, before all of the stuff that we currently have going on happened, they were that worried that they basically made it so they wanted the internet to be able to be completely cut off from the rest of the world and it carried on in Russia, which technically is actually
so
possible.
They could control it, basically.
Anything in Russia, a bit like, you know, here you could probably only go to sites hosted in the UK if everything else was off because you couldn't go out.
Yeah.
So, you know, you could probably get to google.co.uk, but not google.com as an example.
Oh, interesting, yeah.
Full of uninteresting facts. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Well,
I'm getting all excited. I put Christmas songs since, like, I'm sorry, I need a bit of Christmas cheer. Steph turned up wearing lovely, like, spangly things across her front, you know.
She has got a lovely spangly effect going on. It's beautiful.
Her lovely sequins. Yeah. So, nicked off a Christmas tree, I think.
I did just climb down off a Christmas tree. I'm still a bit sore. Terry, don't forget Radio Vietnam North, Hanoi Hannah.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Tokyo Rose and all those. Lord Warhol.
I think Europe, North Korea had one as well, didn't they?
I'm sure they did, yeah. these propaganda announcements.
We don't get that far, though. So we get, you know, we're limited.
We're not that far.
No. Well, Bristol's got an Andy Shilton.
Thank you. And next week, we're coming from Oldcastle Green.
Yes.
But we'll tell you a little bit more about that in a bit. We're going to have a quick break, and then hopefully, fingers crossed the technology's working, we're going to be talking to Alex from Sari and finding out a bit more about that. So, but should we have a bit of Christmassy stuff?
Yeah. Please.
Yeah.
Please.
Why not? The Shout-Out Podcast.
How many of you remember that one?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. First time round.
It's quite classic, isn't it? So, Joan and Louie, I think. Stock Cavalry. Yeah, quite a Christmassy one. So, no, let's give this a go. Alex, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Oh, we can. Amazing. Thank God for that. Hello, how are you?
There's a bit of an echo.
Yeah, yeah. So I might not be able to do anything about that, but let me see what I can do. Try that. Let's see if that makes it a little bit different.
I can do it through my... Oh, that's gone now, I think.
Marvellous.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yep, I can still hear you. Can you hear us okay?
No echo.
No echo. Marvellous. Cool. A lot of the listeners could hear it because we can hear you fine.
Good.
So anyway, a very warm welcome to Shout Out. It's been a while since we've spoken to Sari, actually. I know it because I've known you guys for quite some time. But for the listeners, do you want to give us a little bit of an intro, what Sari is, what it stands for, and kind of like how it all started and that kind of thing?
Yeah, so Sari is, we're a local, we were born in Bristol, just in St Paul's, and we first started in 1991. We are a hate crime charity, so our job is to do everything we can to stop hate crime, but also to support anybody who gets attacked or targeted because of their protected characteristics, be it because they're black minority ethnic, because of their religion, because of their sexual orientation, their gender orientation, because of their disability. We started out in 91 initially as a racial harassment project.
It's been going quite some time then, hasn't it? It was 1991.
For some reason, I thought you were newer than that. So
wow, gosh.
I've basically had a job for life.
So how have you seen it change over time then? I mean, it must have been quite a different world back in 91.
It's been like having so many different jobs.
Yeah.
I mean, when I first started at Sari, I was there. I joined Sari as the very first caseworker, straight from Bristol University and also the University of Life. So I grew up in a mixed race family, mixed race, mixed up, mixed everything really. And I went through a lot, or our family did, but I came up fighting, you could say. And
so technically one of the founders then, am I correct in saying, of Sari?
Yeah.
Oh,
pardon?
I said, are you technically one of the founders then? Of Sari.
I am. Well, basically, I wouldn't class myself as the founder because the founder was Batuk Pandya, who a lot of people knew.
Right.
And he was a great ally for the LGBTQ plus community as well, to the point that that's one of the reasons we extended our charitable objectives to be there for LGBTQ plus people and disabled people in particular. Because, in fact, it was some of our early LGBTQ plus freedom fighters like Barclay Wild. Like people would come and see us and say, look, why can't you support victims of homophobic, transphobic, biphobic abuse? Because we haven't got anywhere to go to like Sari. And so it was kind of very much like our board of trustees. And even to this day, our board of trustees are at the moment, currently they're all black and minority ethnic or mixed, but also they represent the LGB community. We don't have a trans board rep. We want to, but we've got a non-binary staff colleague and staff member, but you know, we really we are a charity that represents the communities we serve as far as possible. And
it's not always possible to get
people that have been through it. That's really important to us.
Yeah, it's not always possible to get absolutely everyone. I mean, we try that here on Shout Out, especially when you're a volunteer organisation. You know, you can't always have absolutely everyone, but it's great to hear that there's so much representation. So, I mean, but going back to the change. I mean, 1991, the world was a very homophobic place compared to today. A lot of people think it's all gone away now. What's the current kind of things that you're seeing? I mean, we noticed here at Shout Out, we think it kind of went backwards a bit over the last few years. Oh dear, we've lost Alex. That's wonderful for Life Radio, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, hang on.
She might be back.
She's back. Are you back with this? You're back.
Sorry, everyone. Okay. So, dodgy internet.
I don't know how much of that you caught. I was just saying, you know.
So I heard you say that it's good that we do have a diverse organisation. Yeah, that's the last thing I heard.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I mean, because it's great that, you know, you support everything, but I mean, in 1991, the world was a very homophobic place, and I think the term transphobic yes. probably wasn't even a known term. I mean, having talked to, I don't want to speak for others, you'd probably agree with that, wouldn't you? It was very different.
Funnily enough, Sari's always been quite connected yeah. to the community, because we kind of always understood hate crime. And even Batuk, I mean, Batuk was a Kenyan Indian man, but he was really supportive. So people would come to us for support, even if they were facing homophobic abuse at the time.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right. We didn't talk so much about the trans community or transphobia then. Of course, I think we knew people, but it wasn't talked about. But in some ways, it's worse now for me in so many ways around transphobia.
Yeah, I imagine at the moment, I mean, the way the media is portraying trans people, there's a lot more hate.
Unbelievable, literally, because Sari, we coordinate a specialist working group to promote best practice for trans and non-binary people. The reason Sari hosts it, because we're kind of known as a race charity, even though we're for all strands. And the local LGBTQ plus and trans specialists said, can you keep it with Sari because you're going to get less attacked than we are? So we host it, and we've developed this guidance, which has won awards. Actually, it's a best practice guidance for health and well-being and social care practitioners for trans and non-binary people, and it's amazing. It took 8 years to produce because we got so badly attacked. And we were originally under, I don't know if you know about the Clinical Commissioning Group, but it's like the kind of main health strategic body. It's now called the Integrated Care Board. Don't worry about all the acronyms. So we were originally being supported by that group, and they got so badly attacked by transphobic groups that we left that group to go to basically say, no, we're going to lead it from Sari, because we didn't want to be like forced into not developing the guidance that was right for the community. The reason I'm saying this is last week we got a letter from the Charity Commission. So somebody's complained to the Charity Commission about Sari having that guidance on our website.
Wow, that's how bad it is.
That's a complaint against our charity.
Yeah.
And luckily the Charity Commission has said, look, we're not going to take any action. We just want you to know that you need to make sure you're abiding by the law and the CAS review.
Anyway, we are
because we actually have lawyers working with us to make sure we don't break the law. If that makes sense, we've got specialist lawyers, but yeah, a nightmare.
As a trans person, I really appreciate allyship, and it's really important that it comes from people outside the community. I think that really helps.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, 100%, and I agree. And I do try to be the best ally I can, personally and professionally.
So, is this
too.
This the big focus that you've got at Sari at the moment, or is it just one of many that you've got going?
It's a big focus because I tell you what, I tend to focus Sari's work. I'm now the chief exec. I started as the first caseworker, and I focus my attention where there's the most risk. It's not, we're there for all victims of hate crime, and about 70% of referrals are race hate. That's true, but we do have a high percentage of transphobic hate referrals when you look at the community. But to me, right now, it's trans people, non-binary people are really at threat from the current rhetoric. And when you've got Wes Streeting, who's meant to be a Labour government minister and who's an out gay man himself, banning puberty blockers for children, for gender questioning children. You know, this is the world we're in right now. It's going backwards under a Labour government. So for me right now, it's actually a major area of concern, along with our Muslim communities. When you look at the far right riots, you know, refugee, asylum seeker Muslim communities, obviously after the summer, you know, the summer was horrific. I haven't seen anything like that in 33 years. I've seen far right. I've seen very active far right. In fact, our founder director was beaten up by C18 and put in hospital with a heart attack. So we've been under attack ourselves.
Well, I saw in the news this morning as well, like that the guy that tried to set fire to the hotel has just been sentenced to, I think, 7 or 9 years in jail. which is the highest sentence that they gave out. So it is good that they came, they found the people and came down on them like
That's where I think the government has done. I think Keir Starmer did a brilliant job in terms of how he directed action against the far right violence of the summer. He did, and I've also commend our local police force, because I think our local police force did a brilliant job.
And to be fair, the local people too, because Old Market really rallied around preventing
it. Amazing, wasn't it?
To the point where most right wing people didn't turn up, and there was a big party, from what I hear. You know, so it's nice to know we live in a place that is very pro equality. It's not perfect. Bristol is not perfect. I'm not going to sit here and pretend it is. You know, but out of all the places you can live, it's nice to see things like that. It makes you feel proud to be Bristolian when you see things like that, you know. So, I mean, very quickly, because we're running out of time, for our listeners, what can they do to help?
Well, firstly, I want all of your listeners to know, please look up SARI's website, www.sari.sarichariti.org.uk. Look it up. Hopefully, Shout Out will put it on their website as well.
Of course.
And know where to come, all right? The first thing is, make sure you know who we are, where we are, and know that you can come to us for support at any time. That's day and night. We have an out-of-hours service as well. So that's the first thing you can do. The second thing is just do everything you can to promote SARI and make sure people know we're a safe place to come for our LGBTQ plus communities. Well, for anyone facing any kind of hate, but I really want our LGBTQ plus communities to know we're a very safe pair of hands, because I think people see SARI as a race charity because of our history, and we don't apologise for still having racism in the title, because that's our heritage. But I think I just want people to know we're really good, we're really safe, and we really support and deal well with homophobia and transphobia and biphobia. We really do, we really care. We've got a staff team reps with lived experience of homophobia and transphobia. So please get in touch. And other than that, if you want to, you can always do a fundraiser for us. We'll never say no, because we're at the point now where we have to fundraise all the time, as well as you can't survive just on government contracts.
Yeah, sadly, a very, very, very familiar story.
And we're the only hate crime charity in the UK. We're the only charity like us doing what we do. You've got one other, Stop Hate UK, and then you've got Gallup's got a great phone line, you know, that's really amazing. But in terms of an organization like us, we're the only one like us in the country, and I've been told in the world, because recently we've started working with the national IAG, hate crime IAG, and they work all over the world to promote awareness about hate crime. So we're very rare, so we need support to make sure we can stay strong for another 33 years if we're needed.
It's been wonderful catching up with you. It's brilliant. It's a genuine shame we still need something like this day and age.
I agree.
You'd like to think we'd be over it, but for a charity to be going so strong since 1991 is actually quite an achievement. So well done to you for doing that.
Thank you. And big genuinely, up, shout out, you're amazing, all of you.
Oh, bless you. Thank you.
Honestly, love
it's
you all.
Been lovely having you on the show. I'm sure we will have you on again. But for now, Alex Rakes, everyone from SARI, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you,
Alex.
We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Shout Out. Stay with us. Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
Frosty. Sorry, that's Bublé, isn't it?
Bubbly
Bublé. So he's in a Jack Whitehall special that's on Netflix at the moment, where it's all a total like Mickey take, but basically like Jack's talking to him and Michael Bublé's going on about how much he hates Christmas.
Really?
Absolutely. Hilarious. It's quite a Mickey take. So just one thing to clarify, by the way, that firstly, if you are in any immediate danger, phone the police. Don't do anything else, you know, go straight to the police. But if you are after support from someone like SARI, they spell it SARI, and the web address is saricharity.org.uk, I believe. We'll stick it up on our website along with the podcast later, so that you can grab it. And if you Google SARI, you'll see them too. So, right, should we get some news headlines?
Of course.
We'll be right back.
This is Shoutout News. Welcome along. The BBC News Channel reports that the ban on giving puberty blockers to under 18-year-olds questioning their gender identity is to be made permanent. The gay health secretary, Wes Streeting, astonished many people with his statement. A temporary ban was put in place by the last Conservative government and had been renewed twice by Streeting. Under 18s who were on the drugs before the ban was introduced have been allowed to continue using them. Transactual's Kane Walker said that the ban smacked of discrimination, plain and simple. They went on, evidence of the harm of the temporary ban continues to emerge and will grow now that it has been made permanent. A trial will now take place into these treatments and the ban will be reviewed in the light of any new evidence that might emerge, according to Mr. Streeting. LGBTQ Nation website reports that Mary Trump, a clinical psychologist and the out lesbian niece of Donald Trump, slammed her uncle's promise to end birthright citizenship without apparently realising that the Constitution would get in his way. She said, "Look, let's be very clear here, it's despicable." Speaking on the news channel MSNBC. "He doesn't know what he's talking about. I think it's the first time he's ever heard any part of the Constitution in his life." She was discussing comments made by her uncle during an interview with Kirsten Welker on Meet the Press on the American television, where he said that birthright citizenship, or the legal concept that people born in the US automatically get US citizenship, is ridiculous. Mary Trump pointed out that her uncle doesn't even seem to understand that he himself is the descendant of recent immigrants, including his mother, who was born in Scotland, and his father's parents, who were both born in the Kingdom of Bavaria. "He's a deeply ignorant, cruel man who seems to forget that his father was a first-generation American," Mary Trump said about her uncle's comments. "So if it hadn't been for birthright citizenship, my grandfather probably wouldn't have even been allowed to stay here." The LGBTQIA plus media world is in a state of shock as we go into the weekend after the BBC News Channel went public with articles and interviews which allege that the culture of work at Pink News, one of the largest LGBTQIA plus newswires in the UK, is, quote, toxic. The allegations relate both to the sexual behaviour of the chief executive officer and his partner, and to an alleged brutal working culture at the organisation, where harassment by staff of staff by the management is rife. A spokesperson for the BBC News Channel revealed, as well as interviewing 33 people who worked at Pink News between 2017 and 2024, we have also seen a variety of evidence, including official written complaints, private emails and WhatsApp messages sharing staff members' concerns, plus doctors' records referring to stress and mental health struggles attributed to the working environment at Pink News. The chief executive's office at the groundbreaking newswire has denied all wrongdoing. If the allegations prove to be true, then it will be a bitter blow to many LGBTQIA plus readers of Pink News, who wanted the newswire to stand up for queer people and provide a beacon as to how mainstream channels such as the BBC, Sky and ITV News should and could report on LGBTQIA plus issues. The BBC investigation continues. The horrors of GHB, the gay scene party drug that has decimated the sex party scene in London, is the subject of a hard-hitting article in the London Evening Standard this week. Short for gamma hydroxybutyrate, G is a naturally occurring chemical found in the body that can be used in medical settings to treat narcolepsy. It's also a performance-enhancing drug used by the bodybuilding community since the 80s. You may recognise its name from headlines about date rape, but it also has recreational uses, most commonly as a cheap Class B party drug popular with LGBTQIA plus communities, especially with gay men during chemsex. Monty Moncrief, MBE, the CEO of the UK's largest LGBT charity London Friend, correction, oldest LGBT plus charity London Friend, says that it can be very easy to overdose on. A few too many drops can be fatal. Monty went on, "We're hearing of accidental overdoses a great deal more." Educators and harm reduction agencies told journalists that they and responsible party owners find it difficult to give honest and upfront health advice about safe use of GHB for fear of being accused of encouraging the drug's use. A public policy wake-up is needed, they said, to allow for a nuanced and harm reduction focused approach to the issue. And if you or someone you know is struggling with GHB abuse or wants to learn more about the drug, contact London Friend's drug service, Antidote, at antidote@londonfriend.org.uk. That's antidote@londonfriend.org.uk. Well, on that note, we've all had another busy week. Thank goodness the festive season will soon be here and things might slow down for a few days. And if you believe that, you'll believe anything, Terry. Be sure to keep in touch with the latest LGBTQIA+ news from queer media in your area. And why not check out our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt. For Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast. Shout Out Podcast.
The Shout Out Listeners Awards for 2025, sponsored by YouGo, are now open. There's 22 awards over five categories, including performers, artists and writers, events, groups and organisations, places and people, and Shout Out's most prestigious awards of them all, the Gold Awards. For 2025, the number of Gold Awards has increased to five, including Diversity Champion of the Year, Most Diverse Company, the Make It Happen Award, Inspirational Role Model of the Year, and our most prestigious of them all, Hero of the Year. The Shout Out Listeners Awards are your awards. To nominate someone for an award, visit our brand new website, awards.shoutoutradio.lgbt. I can't wait for the awards.
Get voting.
If you haven't yet, go check it out. Awards.shoutoutradio.lgbt. So, you excited about that too, the squeaky bum?
I'm really excited. Yeah, you could tell by my squeaky bum. Yeah,
squeaky bum.
That's how it. No one can hear it. Be how I express my excitement tonight.
Oh dear, we'll have to get you some WD-40 for Christmas or something, won't we?
Some lube.
The chair, I'm telling you. It's the chair.
It's a bit dry.
That's what they all say.
Yeah.
Dear. I'd be upset if someone bought me a can of lube for Christmas.
Would you mind?
I'd just say, well, what the hell is this? Where's me?
That's your early present. That's a precursor.
You've got Tom Daly under wraps under the Christmas tree. Oh dear. Now,
I was going to say we shouldn't really laugh because this next one's actually quite a more serious subject, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, it's not one we've ever really talked about on the show either.
Well, it hasn't come up in British parliamentary debates for a long time, but it is News Extra where we delve a little bit more into people's opinions about subjects of the day. Now, you may remember a couple of weeks ago, the BBC News Channel and Sky News both followed the parliamentary debate. I was working, but I did peek on the television quite a lot to see it unfold. The debate and vote on the second reading of a bill which would, in very limited circumstances, make it legal for British people to seek the means of ending their own lives, where that life was felt to have become too unpleasant to live, was destined to end shortly, I think within the next 6 months, and where there was no hope of symptom relief. Now, although this is not immediately an LGBTQIA plus issue, it is in the sense that within the last 50 years, our community has lived through a serious pandemic in which those safeguarding issues and requirements would have frequently been met. LGBTQIA plus people contributed to research into HIV and AIDS, and pioneered forms of palliative care that became widespread around the globe and have been used by campaigners in a lot of different fields like cancer research and so on and so forth. In addition, our community is well known for debating ideas of the day that are controversial and polarising, and yet managing to do so in ways that are imaginative and which reconcile difference. So, with this in mind, I'm going to put a few questions to the panel.
Okay.
And what do we think?
Oh, we're a panel.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Right.
Definitely. How do you feel about...
Plank, maybe.
How do you feel about legalised assisted dying?
If it's a real, like, I mean, it really draws people to either side, doesn't it? This one.
It does.
When you listen to it. I don't envy the BBC having to cover this, because obviously, I mean, we try and remain impartial, but at least we're only... community, whereas they really have to try and make sure that they get it right. And to be fair, and everything I saw, I think they did. You know,
I thought the debate in Parliament was interesting because I've never seen it so professional. I mean, there was none of this sort of like jeering and throwing around,
isn't it?
Yeah, it was actually conducted in a very respectful manner. To be fair to the MPs,
yeah. It's a really difficult one. I mean, For me, it's really difficult. I mean, I don't want to draw a parallel between a human life and an animal life, but you'd never, ever watch an animal suffer indefinitely just because you didn't want to have it put down, you know. And while you don't have a human put down, the idea is still the same thing, that someone is suffering so much and there's nothing that we can do to make it better should they have right to make a decision.
Can I say, so there are people that put their animals down because they can't afford it? And
that's my big fear as well.
Yeah, because you're no longer a productive member of society. Well,
indeed,
you know.
One of my points, it says disability campaign groups like Not Dead Yet and Disabled People Against the Cuts have strong views that this legislation could be the start of a slippery slope to the state bumping off people it doesn't like, which could in future include LGBTQIA+ people. Yeah. I think more likely, though, that people with economic axe to grind could try and encourage people.
Families
to
encouraging people.
I don't know how you get that right. I don't know how you judge someone.
I think
someone.
That's a hard bit.
I mean, Canada's laws changed recently, and I think I'd have to do more research into what exactly has happened there. But it is a scary thing, but at the same time I can see both sides, but if I look at it from my perspective, if I was really, really sick, I'd want to be able to choose that.
Yeah, I would. And is it Gloria Honeyford that's led the campaign?
Esther
Ranson. Okay. And you listen to her talk and it's very passioned and the like, but then when you hear the other side talk saying, you know, I'm really worried about safeguarding, I'd like to think that those people would be safeguarding the people around them.
You kind of hope, but that's the human beings. Human beings are flawed.
Yes, and that's very true. And at the moment, the proposed legislation would have two doctors to sign off their agreement that this person will not live longer than 6 months and is in extreme pain. And a High Court judge, I believe, has to review the case as well.
So
there are safeguards. But the argument of disability campaigners, some disability campaigners, is that it can be a slippery slope to pressure being put on elderly relatives, for example.
It's unusual. Normally when we have one of these extras, I'm usually dead on something. This one, I really don't... I couldn't call it. I totally agree with Lisa. If I was in that situation... You know, the way my life is, I'm pretty sure the people around me will be supportive and the like, and the decision would be mine, and I would want to be able to have it. But I totally get the argument that there could be a lot of people who are not in that situation. But then the problem is, if you then say no to everyone, you've then stopped the people who could make a good decision.
Yeah, there were stories.
And then you've got lots of people suffering.
I was just going to say, I think... nobody really knows how they're going to react to this until they're confronted with it.
Yeah.
Either happening to themselves or to a loved one. And that really is a difficulty in discussing this and understanding it, is that we just don't know how we would react when we get to that point.
Yeah.
I think in every part of human society, there if this did happen, there would be some wrongdoing, which is absolutely terrible. But at the same time, what would balance that out is when someone gets to escape their pain and therefore in the long terms, like save resources for someone else who might be saved. I don't know. It's a really...
I think it'll end up having to get resolved in the court for, you know, they've got to build in the safety mechanisms and all that. And without that, it's like the Wild West.
In an ideal world, if someone is being coerced into doing it, hopefully there would be a lot of people around who would spot it, including the doctors that would have to sign off on it.
But
that's an ideal world.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
I mean, only today, it was in the news on the top of the hour, that poor little girl that was murdered, you know, the people are saying... They knew that it was on the sites of people working in child protection, but nothing was done, you know. So there is always that danger
and
as well.
And when people commit suicide as well, it's like, oh, I should have known that, or someone did and didn't see, or whatever else. There's lots of things that should have, could have, would have.
Yes.
Yeah. Hindsight is a wonderful thing. Yeah. But does that mean that you should stop something from happening in the first place? That's the catch-22, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the law at the moment is a bit wrong, because if you travel with somebody, with a partner to Switzerland to help them end their life, then when you get back, you can face prosecution for helping them. I think it's up to 7 or 8 years in prison just for assisting somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know the definition of assisting. I'd always assumed it was actually the act itself.
It's getting them there, isn't it?
I didn't realise it was getting them
there. That's extreme to me.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting one.
This is a very interesting one.
Yeah. It's interesting that you said that during the AIDS pandemic as well, that we'd very much help form what we call palliative care these days.
Oh, yeah, very much so. I mean, the AIDS pandemic, what you have in the 1970s is gay men and lesbians tended to go off and do their own things. There was a lot of lesbian separatism. Gay men sort of pursued their own kind of lives and institutions. And that those different sides of the community came back together again in the 1980s, with a lot of lesbian feminists having experience in the feminist health movement of the 70s and new ways of treatment and so on, teaching a lot of gay men about palliative care. And there was a real reunion of the different sides of the movement that happened. And as I mentioned, a lot of those standards and methodologies that were introduced in the 1980s through the AIDS palliative care movement have been adopted by other treatment, you know, by official treatment providers such as the NHS and the private sector, and for a wide variety of life-limiting conditions such as cancer, for example. They're very much was. But, you know, again, you know, during the AIDS crisis, you know, some people were saying, you know, would somebody help me end my life if it became too
bad? Oh, I'm not surprised.
So that was a discussion point then.
I would imagine that's a very recurring thing. I mean, we've had all kinds of things over the years that have make you very ill and suffer a lot.
Are we not talking about pain here as well, though? It's like managing pain. And there's specialist doctors that's all they specialise in, but they're not everywhere.
They should be more of them.
Yeah, and it's like...
Could do with a lot more doctors full stop, to be fair.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a bigger issue. Yeah.
But pain is the thing. I think we all fear in some ways, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, no one wants to suffer, do they?
Yeah,
whatever, so...
You know?
Well, I mean, tell us your thoughts. studio@shoutoutradio.lgbt. We'd be glad to know your views, so... Right, stay with us. We'll light the mood a little bit, have a Christmas song. We'll be back in a minute.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Oh, we all feel it a bit Christmassy, yeah. That's Idina Menzel.
That is very Christmassy, isn't it?
You know her from Wicked. She was the original witch that sang the massive number at the end of that one. Beautiful voice on her, Idina.
Who wrote White Christmas? Is it Ira Gershwin? Because it's quite interesting.
Can't remember.
It's quite an interesting point is that a lot of the classic Christmas songs of the mid-20th century were written by Jewish librettists. So there's quite an irony there. Although this year, Hanukkah starts on Christmas Eve, I believe. Yeah. So,
Irving Berlin,
there you are.
Yeah, 1942.
Wonderful song.
It was actually written for a musical film called Holiday Inn.
Indeed, you still see it sometimes.
Yeah, I've never heard of it before.
Oh, you're too young. That's what it is.
Well, if it was from 1942.
No.
But you know the song, though, don't you? You know the song.
Yeah, I know the song, White Christmas.
BBC Two in the afternoon, all the black and white films that used to get played.
Yes. Anyway, who's done their Christmas shopping? None of you.
No. I've got to get organised this weekend. Yeah.
I have very little.
I'm on about your presents. Have you done all your present shopping yet?
No.
Oh, good Lord.
Well, I got
are you all like Amazon people? Nope. You just click in the...
Yeah.
No. I don't go by Amazon, but... I do like lots of Secret Santa, so I've only got a few. We've all agreed too many presents, so... Yeah.
Is WD-40 on the list?
I was going to ask everybody, what's your favourite Christmas film?
Well, it's got to be Home Alone.
Ooh.
No, that's a good one.
Christmas film.
Or some of the old ones.
No. I like The Grinch. I like Elf. I love...
Oh, Elf is great.
I love Polar Express.
Polar Express yet.
And It's a Wonderful Life. I'm
I was
really
going to say It's a Wonderful Life is probably
Tom
most
Hanks,
touching.
Wasn't it? Polar Express. Tom Hanks?
Yeah.
Of course, there's the old debate of is Die Hard a Christmas film?
It is. Well, it definitely is. I'm with you.
Bless him, he's ever so ill now, isn't he? He said, is it Alzheimer's he's got?
Yeah.
Front lobe.
Yeah. He can hardly even
Bruce
move.
Bruce Willis.
He was an absolute staple on TV when I was a kid growing up.
And his ex-wife's looking after him. Yeah. Which I think's even more.
Well, that's nice. Yeah.
Demi Moore.
Yeah. Oh,
sorry.
On that note,
take it down a notch. Sorry,
but I guess that's the thing about Christmas. There are people that's going to have a really happy time. There's some people that really struggle this time of year.
That's true.
So
next week, we've got a little bit more of the show left, but to let listeners know, next week we're starting early. We're on at 7 o'clock. I know we've moved to 8 o'clock. We are staying at 8 o'clock, but we're doing a 2-hour special next week. We are broadcasting live from the Old Castle Green. You're welcome to come down and join us. The Shout Out team will be out in the audience in teams. They've already been given their teams. Has anyone got their phone on them? Want to read out what the first task is for the listeners? Anyone got it to hand? As Albie brings it up,
I have the slowest phone in history as well, so this is going to take a moment.
So while Albie's finding that, they've all been set a task that they have got to do between now and then.
Okay.
You got it too, didn't you, Terry?
You know what your task is.
Are you guys finding it, or do you need me to?
Yeah, it disappeared.
I've gone blind.
Here we go. Your first task is, please work together and come up with the weirdest, most bizarre Christmas present you could buy Mike Coe. Now, if you don't know who Mike Coe is, he's the proprietor of the Old Castle Green and very kindly sponsoring the outside broadcast for us. He's on one of the teams as well, so he's got to find a bizarre present for himself, which would be an interesting challenge for him. We will reveal all on the night. There'll be loads of other quizzes too, and there's a few interactive bits going on as well during it. The Shout Out team are in for a bit of a surprise, because normally they get to sit in the studio and just play along with a pen and paper.
Yeah. Nice and safe.
I do like a good interactive bit.
So, well, to the point I've even bought radio mics, so you're wired
around
free,
apparently.
Yes,
wired for sound.
Okay. That was Squeaky Bum was here, wishing she's coming now.
Yeah, I'm so sorry, I'm missing it. I've got major FOMO. That's not sarcastic at all.
No, we'll have to go round and find a squeaky bar chair for next time we're there or something, won't we? That should be fun. Come join us. It is the one show of the year where we all let our hair down and team have a bit of fun, and I run the quizzes for them. It's all fun and games. Nobody really wins because there's no prize, but might buy you a drink if you're lucky, I suppose. And then the following week, of course, it's Christmas. Christmas Day and Boxing Day, you can hear Shout Out. And our Panto special is going out, which is Shout Out on the Orient Express this year, if I can get it edited in time.
I say that because there's a lot of editing to do.
A lot goes behind the scenes.
We recorded that a few weeks ago. It's very, very funny.
It's good fun, actually.
Including me making Terry throw a dog out the window.
Not for real. Written by Martin Spellacy, of course.
Yes, lovely Martin.
Superb script writer.
And a very good actor, too. He does lots of different accents.
He does. Well, I mean, you know, he works for the BBC and so on. So, works with the big wigs.
Of Doctor Who fame.
It's the way he says, you know, as I said to Bonnie only the other day, and I was like, you mean Bonnie Langford, don't you? And, you know, and Katie, who's, of course, played Joe Grant, Katie Manning, and so on and so forth.
I think
so
they've started, a lot of people. The efforts started running for the Doctor Who, haven't they?
Yes, on Christmas Day, and there's a ghost story for Christmas on Christmas Eve, adapted for television by the gay hero Mark Gatiss from The League of Gentlemen.
Oh. And then on the 3rd of January, I think it is new Arban animation special, the new, what's it called?
Wallace and Gromit.
Yes, Wallace and Asset,
yes.
Where Feathers McGraw is back. So.
That is going out over the period of Christmas.
Anyway, that's it for this week. You've heard us playing the jingle. Nominations are now open. Please do go check out the Shout Out Listeners Awards, because they're your awards. We need you to tell us who you'd like to nominate.
All the info you need, plus the form to nominate, is all on our special website, awards.shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Next week, like I said, we're live from 7 for a 2-hour special from the OCG.
Yay!
From myself, from Terry, from Tara, from Arby, from Steph, who's out there somewhere, Rez out there, and lovely Lisa Squeaky Bum. Say bye-bye.
Bye.
GBT Radio for you.